Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre. First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yep.
Now it's Bolling with Favre.
All right, here we go, Bolling with Favre, show 10, April 6, 2021. So, Brett, we've gotten a ton of reviews and ratings and reviews on Apple. Spotify doesn't do the Apple review in the way Apple does, but we're there too. But on Apple, we're giving away a signed and autographed Brett Favre jersey. Time's running out because to the most creative, cool review written, we're going to give the jersey, and we'll read a couple of them in the next couple of weeks, maybe next week or so. But I've been reading them. There's some really funny stuff on there, Brett. They love you. You're a huge fan. You got huge audience out there who are jonesing for the Brett Favre jersey. So write a cool review, and in the most creative one or two, we're going to feature them here, and then also a jersey will be sent out to the one we pick. So, man, you get on there. Have you read any of those, Brett?
No. You know, it's like my dad told me a long time ago. If you're willing to read the good press clippings, you got to be willing to read the bad.
All right. Well, I highly recommend you read these because they're pretty much across the board real positive, especially for you, my friend. So the big story of the day, the week, maybe even the month, maybe in the summer, is this Major League Baseball pulling out of Atlanta, Cobb County, Atlanta, and Georgia because of the new voting laws there, and moving it elsewhere. Looks like it could be into Colorado. We're going to talk all about that. So don't go away. We have Andrew Klavan on. He's a international best-selling crime novel author. He's got a big podcast on the Daily Wire as well. He's going to weigh in on that. And Brett and I will give you our 2 cents on all that stuff. So don't go away with that. But buddy, I was watching Jeopardy, and I know we've been talking about this for a while. And one of your colleagues, Aaron Rodgers, is hosting Jeopardy. I'll get you way in on it. Let's hear a couple of pieces of audio from that. Your thoughts?
I think he is a great choice. I mean, he's sharp. He's smart. He's well-spoken. I think he's a perfect fit for it.
All right, Rob, roll that first bite, Aaron Rodgers in Jeopardy.
Here is the guest host of Jeopardy, Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you, Johnny Gilbert. Welcome to Jeopardy. As a lifelong fan of Jeopardy, it is an incredible honor to guest host. Now, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of amazing things, but winning Celebrity Jeopardy and getting to share the stage with the legend Alex Trebek is something I will never forget. Alex was such a gentleman, so smart, so precise. I was in awe, and I will work hard to honor his legacy.
You know, and Aaron won Celebrity Jeopardy. He actually won, if I'm not mistaken, right, Rob?
He did. He smoked everybody.
He beat everybody. Do you also have that little bit at the end when the final Jeopardy, when the guy was obviously going to lose and he knew it and he had a little fun with Rodgers? Do we have that by chance?
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0.
So clearly the guy didn't know the answer there.
Yeah, but he took the opportunity to have a little fun with Aaron. So I've been watching the Jeopardy fill-ins. Aaron, you did a good job, Brett.
Yeah. Yeah. Not surprised. I mean, I Aaron, I I don't think I could do it nearly as good as he, nor did I, would I want to. But I think Aaron, I could see him doing it after he retires, something along those lines.
Yeah, you know, he was pretty good. I listen, straight shooter here. I'm not going to blow any smoke up anyone's skirt or not, but he was okay. I mean, I thought it was fascinating to see an NFL quarterback in the hosting seat. I don't think he crushed it. I watched Katie Kirk do a good job. You know, who did a really good job? I didn't like the all-time winner. Can't remember his name, Rob. What, do you remember his name?
Talking about Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings. I didn't like him. He's the odds-on favorite to take over. I like the executive producer who had to step in because someone got COVID, and he did a two-week stint. I thought he was the best of all of them. He had composure. He was funny. He knew the rhythm of the show. I thought that guy was great. And then Dr. Oz, last 2 weeks prior to Aaron taking over, did okay, but people just crushed him. The former contestants, winners, petitioned to get him pulled off Jeopardy. I mean, everything's so political now.
Yeah, I thought Dr. Oz did a really good job. I didn't see all the celebrity hosts, but I thought Oz did a really good job.
I think you got Anderson Cooper coming out. I think Oz will come on. I've known him, that guy, a long time. Let's see. But how about this one, Rob? Can we take a little listen to Charles Charles Barkley? The what do they call it? Look, Sir Charles. Again, they used to call him on the NBA court as the round mound of sound. He always had some trash talking to do. Take a listen to what he says. He's never one to hold back. Take a listen.
Man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Brett, Charles Barkley just dropped a truth bomb on the country, I think.
Yeah. I find a hard time disagreeing with his comments. I mean, it sure seems that way. And I think we all can agree.
Yeah.
There's good white people. There's bad black people. There's bad white people. There's bad Hispanics, Asians. There's really good Hispanic and Asians. But career politicians, I think that they're not in touch with reality.
But you know what though, Brett? I don't even think it's that. I think the vast majority of Americans are not racist. We all believe exactly what Charles Barkley said.
I agree.
Right. But my point being, there is a fringe on both sides, which is what you said. There's a fringe on both sides. But these politicians and media complicit realize that the way you get more energy with your backers, your base, is by blowing everything up. We're great. They're all bad. So you have to back me, or you have to watch my network, or you have to vote for me, because I make sure the bad people who are trying to get you don't get you. So there, it's an old divide and conquer. It's an old theory. It's old theory of war, divide and conquer. And that's what these jerks are doing. Unfortunately, we're paying them to do it. We're exacerbating this racism that is probably only a little bit in the country. I don't think it's generally a racist country. Maybe it's a little, but we should absolutely admit it's there. But what they're doing is they're making it seem like it's everywhere.
Yeah, that is rampant in America. Maybe at one time it was. I love Charles. He always speaks his mind. you know, really from his heart and his guts, what he speaks from. And you have to admire a guy like that, because he doesn't really care what people think about him. He just tells you like it is. And sometimes it hurts. The truth hurts, as they say.
Yeah, truth bomb by Charles Barkley. You know, a friend of mine, off the beaten path a little, a friend of mine, John, told me he was playing golf in I think it was Shadow Creek in Vegas, which is a very, very difficult golf course to get on. You just have to know people. But in front of him, there's a foursome. It was Tiger Woods, Charles Barkley, Ray Romano, and Kevin James. And he said there was so much laughter going on every time they kind of catch up to him, everyone's laughing. But he said Charles wanted to bet on everything, like every single shot. Do you ever play golf with Charles by chance?
No, I have not.
He said, my friend John said, he would bet on everything, how far his drive was going to be, how far he's going to leave that next putt, the direction of the wind on the next, and all he wanted to do was bet. But what a great foursome to be involved. Can you imagine how much fun that one would be?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind playing golf with him, not so much from the golf perspective, but just from the laughter. How could you not enjoy playing with Charles?
I don't think
you're going to get any golf tips.
You get some truth tips. You get the golf tips from Tiger. You get some truth tips from Charles, and you certainly get a lot of laughs from Ray Romano and Kevin James.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be a fun foursome to play. I'd drive the cart for those foursomes. Vladimir Putin passed the law in Russia that allow him to be president for another 20 years, Rob? Is that what it is?
I think so. It's like 2036 or something.
2036, another 15, 16 years. And he's already been president for 20 years.
And we should act surprised?
And no, we shouldn't act surprised. But, we have these companies going absolutely apeshit over our voting laws. And these are places where, think about all the dictatorships in the world. You look at Putin, who's going to be there till he wants to leave, or the Castros will be in Cuba till they want to leave, or Kim, the Kim Jong-uns and ills, or the Jungs in North Korea. That's where we should be worrying about voting atrocities, and not freaking state of Georgia.
Yeah. Whether or not Russians can vote, it really doesn't matter, because one vote counts.
Rob, you remember that they do the exhibition hockey game every year, and he scores like 60 goals.
Yeah. Well, here's my favorite story from the Putin thing this week, was that he was also named Russia's sexiest man.
Sexiest man. Of course he was.
Of course.
I wonder who voted on that. I think
him.
Exactly.
It was unanimous, because if you vote against it, you end up over one of the bridges.
Yeah, absolutely.
The river. Russian river. What else we got here? We have some audio of, Rob, what is this? An MMA fighter loses a finger?
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see the story about the MMA fighter who lost his finger?
No, I did not. I read it in our notes.
But. Oh, my God, it's terrifying. Well, the announcers really couldn't believe what was going on.
Oh, my God.
What?
What am I seeing here?
Where is his finger?
Is his finger gone?
When they couldn't find it. He lost his finger in the middle of a match, and they couldn't find it.
Oh, God. Did they eventually find it?
It was in his glove. His finger was detached, and it came off in his glove, and he didn't know he was still fighting.
So what happened when Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear? What did he do with it?
I think he just spit it out.
Right.
Not like he put it on a chain around his neck or anything.
No, they never attached it, though, Brett. What's up with that?
Hey, if you can't punch him to death, just chew off an ear.
Chew off an ear.
Well, the worst is, if you see Evander to this day, he still has a giant chunk of his ear missing.
He does.
Still to this day.
Brett, with this 17-game season, man, this came out last week, and we kind of got caught up with Ted Nugent. Didn't get a chance to talk about it. But, this is a big deal for players, right? You add in a game. Tell us about it.
I wish they would have done this when I was playing. And there's a couple reasons why. And this is only my you know, my thinking. I love to play. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to play games that counted. So if you, I don't know what they're going to do in regards to preseason, but I didn't particularly like preseason games because if you play a series, maybe three plays, maybe six plays, and you're done. Mm-hmm. I got to assume that they're going to subtract a game, if not two, from preseason and now add this other regular season game.
All right, can I jump in here real quick?
Sure.
I'm better. I bet like insane numbers during the NFL season. And one of the things you look at is that bye week, you know, who's going to get healthy. You know, I'm on a podcast with a guy who went 297 consecutive games starts. So it wasn't an issue for him, but football is different now. So if teams are banged up, you look for that bye week to see when they're coming off the bye week, who they're playing. I don't know, Brett, the bye week matters. No, they might pull that.
I find it hard to believe they'll pull a bye week. I hated bye week because it meant I wasn't playing. You know, maybe I was cut from a different cloth, but I just love to play. And adding an extra week, eliminating a bye week, I would have been gung-ho for it.
Man, because
owners, coaches, players are going to bellyache that we need the bye week. And you know, I can see their point. Really the game today is about statistics. It's not defensive minded anymore. It's offense. It's about how many points, how electric we need to capture the audience. And how do you do that? No one wants to see, you know, the stall offense. What was it? Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
They win 48-46, you know, against Michigan. People want to see the five slam a jamma in right. all sports. They want to see home runs. They want to see slam dunks. They want to see the 3-point shot. Football, they want to see 500 yards passing, five mm-hmm. touchdowns, and who cares about the defense? And so that's how it's driven right now.
Yeah.
And it, you know, as a former player, I didn't particularly like to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were in their prime, but I miss that, you know, grinding one out, winning 10-9 or 7-6. But the league is not going to, you know, they're going to steer that towards 50-48.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe that just iced it for anyone else that wanted to do an undefeated take the Dolphins off their 1972.
Yeah, I assume the Dolphins, those guys are
they're celebrating, right?
Yeah, they're celebrating because
they're 14-0 and the season went to 16 games. There are a couple of 15-1 teams a couple of years and no one ever got to undefeated. And now to go 17-0, it doesn't look plausible now.
No. No, it just got one game more difficult.
As guys, we're notorious for putting off our own health and going to the doctor, right? Especially when it's about sensitive subjects. So that's where our friends at RexMD make it simple. RexMD makes getting prescription ED medications easy, all done online and from the comfort of your own home, then delivered. No office visits, no talking to receptionists. Super simple.
Yeah, guys, you don't have to be embarrassed. Sample packs of ED medications are available for listeners of Bowling with Favre, and we'll tell you how to get those in just a sec.
It's simpler than ever to get started. You fill out a quick medical questionnaire on their website, and a doctor reviews your situation and prescribes you the ED medication you need. Then your medication is shipped directly to your door with free 2-day shipping. They carry all of the most popular medications at great prices. It's fast, transparent, and affordable, and you can access your RexMD physician anytime you need afterwards.
Guys, this is a game changer. Half of all men experience ED after the age of 40. It's way more common than I ever realized, and it's worth it to check it out.
All right. It's never been easier to take control of your health. Those sample pack prescriptions we mentioned are available at RexMD.com/Favre. So go to Rex, RexMD.com/Favre to get started with RexMD. RexMD.com/Favre. All right. All right. Let's do this. Can we bring in, let's bring in Andrew Klavan, a world renowned best-selling author I guess novels and other, and also a very big podcaster with the Daily Wire. Andrew Klavan is going to join us now. Okay, let's bring in Andrew Klavan right now, one of the very successful podcasters. Andrew, you know, there's the story of the day. Now, we just did your podcast and you're coming on to our podcast. And, you know, I believe the story across cable news right now, maybe even broadcast news right now, is this big issue that Major League Baseball has brought upon themselves by pulling the 2021 All-Star game out of the Atlanta Stadium in Cobb County, Georgia, because of the new voting rights law that the state of Georgia has passed. And it looks like they're going to move it into Denver, Colorado, Coors Stadium in Denver. So a whole lot of things going on there. I know you're a sports fan just because of the time we just spent with you. But what are your thoughts? We're going to get into our thoughts on MLB and some of the other moves. But what are your thoughts on what Commissioner Manfred has done to the sport and basically to his own reputation?
Well, I think it's nuts, but I think it's part of a larger picture. We're going through a what I would call a moral panic right now, centered on race. I think a lot of it is ginned up by the media, and a lot of it is ginned up by politicians who live on our separations. They live on our divisions, and they feel if they can divide us, they can build a coalition to win more power for the government, more power for their party. In this case, I think the Democrat Party. And so this moral panic is sweeping through the corporate world, through the media world, and through the political world. And I think that Major League Baseball just fell right in with it. What they did made no sense. They took the game out of a town with fewer African-Americans and moved it with more African-Americans and moved it to a town with fewer African-Americans.
The voting 50% in Cobb County and or Atlanta, Georgia, African-American representation, citizenship there versus about 9.7% in Denver and Coors Field. You know, on top of it, again, MLB, BLM, Black Lives Matter, which is really the basis for this, because the Black Lives Matter movement is pushing for I guess easier access to the voting booth, and that's what this was all about in Georgia. The African Americans believe they're being targeted by the state of Georgia, by Kemp, the governor there, by making it more difficult for African Americans to vote, and so they're pissed off. Players said they're pissed off. And MLB said, well, we're out of there. But then they took $100 million of revenue, Andrew, and took it out of Cobb County in Atlanta and stuck it right into Denver, Colorado, which has, by some indications, voter ID laws, more stringent voter laws
far more stringent.
than in Georgia. Go ahead.
No, they're far more stringent than even what Georgia wants to bring in. And we all know, look, we all know that during the pandemic, a lot of the restrictions on voting went by the boards. A lot more opportunity for fraud was out there. And these are just sensible reforms that you have to make sure our elections are unquestioning. It's not a good thing when either side, when either half of the country thinks they've been cheated out of their vote. So it is a good thing to make voting more secure. And it's not a question of making it more difficult, to question having, you know, to require having an ID for things. You have to have an ID to do almost anything in this country. You should have to have an ID to vote. It's absurd. But again, it's part of this move to demonize and silence half the country and to use a sort of idea of moral that somehow we're in a terrible time of racial relations, which simply isn't true. I mean, race relations and race freedom in this country is greater than it's ever been and greater than any place else. One of the things about this is, Eric, you know, I lived out of this country for 7 years. America is the least racist country on earth. And I will say that anytime, anywhere, anybody asks me, America is the least racist country on earth. We all have problems. There's always tribalism in the human heart. We all have sinful human hearts and all of that. But America has been a country that has truly evolved. And one of the things that I just find that really hurts me is when I hear commentators on the left saying that America has racism in its DNA. Well, DNA determines how you grow. If you're an oak tree, your DNA is going to turn you into an oak tree. This country has gotten freer and freer and better and more open and diverse through its history. Its DNA is toward liberty, not toward racism. And I think if we don't, if we can't accept that, then we have nothing to talk about. Then we're so far divided in our vision. It's going to be very hard for us to find places where we can find common ground. Sports used to be that place. You know, it used to be that place. And I, again, I don't mind people being on the left. I don't mind them being on the right. But I do mind when, for instance, they disrespect the flag, which I think is supposed to unite us both. I do mind when they use sports to support one political side and not the other. This is the problem. And the problem is not that we differ. It's not that we have arguments. It's that we, one side is being demonized and silenced by very, very powerful forces.
And something else, Brett, is the hypocrisy that happens here. You know, and Manfred is pulling the All-Star game out of the state of Georgia over the Georgia voting laws. But, you know, it's been pointed out by Marco Rubio and others that Manfred, the MLB commissioner, Brett, he plays Augusta. He's a member of Augusta National, which happens to be in the state of Georgia, and the game and the tournament's coming up. So,
we shouldn't let him off the hook.
Is Manfred being hypocritical? And then let me take it one step further. Is CBS being hypocritical by airing some of this stuff? And they're going to go ahead and air the Augusta. They're going to air the Masters coming up.
I think absolutely hypocritical is a fair term. I'd like to know what he, if he has responded to Marco Rubio's comments, how he would, I'm sure he's got a legitimate answer.
Sure of that? I don't think there is an answer. Here's your answer.
I got to
give up my membership to the much coveted membership of Augusta National Golf Course. I mean, that's something that people strive their whole lives to be able to say they have, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, that's why I think we hold his feet to the fire and get an answer.
Andrew, I got to tell you, these corporate CEOs have become the new most powerful political lobbyists in the country. If it's not MLB's commissioner and Delta's CEO, you know, complaining about the Georgia law, it's the big tech CEOs, the Jack Dorsey at Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook, and Pinchai at Google. These guys are creating the new culture. They're political advocates, activists.
You know, this to me is the most frightening thing that's happening in the country. Clarence Thomas, the great jurist, said this just yesterday, that these guys control so much information, so much communication in this country, that when they start to censor people, it's not like some bookstore saying we're not going to carry a book, which is fine. It is really as if conversation is being shut down. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. He was supported by 75 million voters. That is basically half the electorate. And he has been cut off every form of social media. If that is not gutting our First Amendment rights, I don't know what is. You know, people forget that under communism, the state owns businesses. But under fascism, the businesses remain private, but they do what the state tells them to do. That's what's happening now. Our businesses remain private, and so they can make all the money they want, but they are basically doing the bidding of the state. And there's got to be a way to change that, because the argument that, well, they're free market people, they can do whatever they want, is absurd when they're literally gutting our rights, when they're gutting our First Amendment
rights. One of the issues that you're pointing out is it's called Section 203. It's a quirky law that allows social media to hide behind another firewall of liability and litigation by saying if something happens on your site that someone posts, in other words, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube are all posted sites. So outside user content are posted on their sites. They are saying they're not responsible for the content posted. So they have this firewall of litigation, of liability. Well, that's called Section 203. But when they go ahead and decide what goes on those sites, they should remove that firewall. And the point I'm trying to make here, and it's a long-winded point, but when the whole Hunter Biden laptop story broke and the New York Post broke that story, That was important. New York Post isn't just some guy, some right-wing nut job who wants to post something against the Biden family. This is the New York Post, the oldest American newspaper, the oldest newspaper in America, posts that they found out that this laptop story about Hunter Biden is true. Hunter had a laptop, and he was dealing with the Ukrainians and some Chinese. Twitter took the story down. Facebook took the story down because they said it wasn't legitimate content. Well, when they made that decision on what's legitimate and what isn't, they removed that firewall of liability, in my opinion. Andrew and Brett, weigh in on this. Your thoughts on whether or not these guys should be treated like any other business in the world where they can't decide what's news and what's not?
Yeah, no, it's a complicated issue because we don't want, you know, I work at the Daily Wire. We don't want people leaving comments on the site that are hateful or racist or anything like that. So we have to have some power to control what comes over. But the minute you have that power, you become a publisher and you are responsible for the things you say. And the thing about Doctrine 230 is that it gives them the power to censor without giving them the responsibility of a publisher. And that's got to go away. That's a creation of government. It has given them, it was there to help them find their footing. They have found their footing. They're extraordinarily powerful. Now they have to be responsible. Either they're like the phone company and we should all be able to talk over them, or they're like publishers and they should be able to be sued for their content. Yeah. And the way it is right now, they're neither fish nor fowl.
And you're right, Andrew, it's Section 230. I said 203. It's Section 230 of the FCC code. Brett, I know this is real political, and I'm not sure where you want to get it, but do you feel that we are being censored now?
We are. Yeah. We are. In particular, our former president or anyone within that camp. And that's wrong. I agree with Andrew. I think there's got to be some level of protection against racist remarks, hateful remarks. But your point of view, your stance, your belief should be allowed. By no way, shape, or form should any of us condone hateful comments, actions, racist comments, actions, but one's belief or one's, ideas, you can't censor that.
Are you surprised that athletes are now becoming, basically mainstream political talkers, activists? I mean, I remember they were the people, we would be playing sports and the last thing in the world on our mind was what's the voting law in Georgia, right? And what's going on here?
Well, very little sports. That's for certain. And we talked about this on Andrew's podcast. It's a shame because the average fan turns on the TV set because they want to watch their favorite team play in a huge game. They turn on MLB or basketball, whatever, and you throw racism out the window. That's their time to enjoy the game. Black, white, whoever's playing, doesn't matter. It's your team. Yeah. But you're seeing – and then I don't think they show the national anthem anymore, which is probably smart. Ratings were considerably down at the start of the NFL season, like 20-something percent, and up to week 3 or 4. And I honestly didn't keep up with it after that. It may have picked back up. I don't know. I got to believe MLB is struggling with ratings. Mm. And I don't see that getting better. Players need to get back to playing. And if you want to help do something for your cause, go out in the community. Sit with the cops. Sit with the community, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, and talk about it. Don't kneel or stand or fight with the national anthem, because all that's doing is creating more and more turmoil. Go out into the community and and put your feet on the ground and go shake hands and rally the community that way. That's the way you do it.
Yeah. And I guess, Andrew, final thought here before we wrap, you know, on the right, we've never been party to that cancel culture. We never said to boycott everything, but now it looks like the left-wing cancel culture mob has come after so many people on the right now, and so many, the businesses are jumping. It's almost to the point where you got to, you know, maybe it's time to order a Jack and Pepsi instead of a Jack and Coke. And I mean, it's crazy, but are we there? Is that where we're at now?
I think, unfortunately, we are. It pains me, too. It's not the way I want to live. It's not the way I want to think. But you can't, if you're in a fight with someone, it's no fair if he gets to pick up a weapon and you don't. And essentially, they are using the power of product, the power of economics, the power of social media to demonize half the country. It cannot be that everything that one half of the country says is right and everything the other half of the country says is wrong. That's just not the way life works. So if we're going to have a conversation, if we're going to come together, we're going to have to argue with each other, and we're going to have to negotiate, and we're going to have to compromise at times. And that doesn't mean I'm like you, Eric. I'm on the right. I'm a right wing guy. But I believe that my left wing fellow citizens have something to say, and I've got to find a way to live with them. If we can't talk, if we can't basically be in this argument together, we can't get anywhere. And so I think that we've got to use the power of economics and the power of social stigma to stop the censorship. That's all I want. All I want is for the censorship to stop and for one side to stop being demonized and the other side to stop running roughshod over everyone who disagrees with them. Till we get to that point, I don't see how we can unify and go forward.
All right, that's Andrew Clayman, and I'm Eric Bowling, and that man right over there is the Hall of Fame quarterback, the great Brett Favre. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Coming real, it's the next episode.
What about Brett Favre?
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.